It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up in just a few, we got the CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will be joining us. Top five, Suburban Perspective with Scotty J. Letter on Lycus at 3, Donna Mike at 7. Thank you all for giving me by. Let's see, what do we have here? Rick, see, this is we're back into the airborne discussion. Rick, the nighttime medication shouldn't have pseudoephedrine if that keeps you up. Generally, nighttime meds have alcohol. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know what the active ingredient is in nighttime Alka-Seltzer. It might be that diphenhydramine stuff. All I know is, man, you take that stuff, it's like with NyQuil, where I don't think they have the NyQuil commercials the way they used to, but there used to be this NyQuil commercial that they would run constantly, and it showed a guy taking it, but he was always taking it in bed. Like, the guy was laying in bed, and he had, like, that, you know, the middle American bed with the big, like, round, you know, alarm clock next to him, and he had, like, a sleeping cap on, and he would have the big, the tablespoon full of NyQuil. And there's a reason for that, because if you take it in the kitchen, you will just wake up in the kitchen, like, 12 hours later.
Yeah, precisely 5 seconds.
Exactly, like, you're, okay, well, I'm just going to take this NyQuil, and then you just wake up the next morning in your own filth. So that is not very clever. Maybe it's less so, but I remember when I was a kid, I was, like, a teenager, I would take NyQuil occasionally. And you realize later that NyQuil, and again, I say this with the greatest of respect, it's a strong brand, and they've made a bajillion dollars selling that to the public. I'm just not entirely sure that NyQuil actually has any medicinal properties as such. I think that the deal with NyQuil is that it effectively incapacitates you. So you can't possibly move or expend any energy of any kind. And as a result, your immune system just charges itself back up because you're not using any energy because you are unconscious. You are dead to the world. So, I don't know. Maybe that's the same thing that the nighttime Alka-Seltzer does or not. But the thing about the pseudoephedrine is true, that you can't buy that anywhere in here. Let's see. Before we do anything else, let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent James Roop. Hello, sir.
Hello. How are you?
I'm dandy, brother. What's up with you?
You know, it's just it's a beautiful day. What can
Another
I tell you?
Southern California day. What is the weather? See, here we are just for finally getting out of the snow shell that has been that has had its wintry arms wrapped around the city for many days. So what are you? You guys had like what, 2 days of that cold snap, and then it's back to just being a paradise.
Yeah, I had to wear a sweater a couple of days.
Bastards.
It was terrible.
Yeah, I know. It must be hard. They were you at the announcing thing today for the Academy Awards?
Yeah.
How close were you to Selma Hayek? Were you close enough that you could have put her in a bag and put her in the trunk of your car?
That close to her at the Golden Globes.
Really?
However, this morning I didn't get that close. That's okay. I wasn't that impressed with her nightgown.
You lie. Get out. Really?
Yeah.
Now, when you say you're not that impressed, were you saying you're just not impressed with her outfit or with her?
Outfit.
Okay, because in person, is she as hot as...
She's a jaw-dropper.
In person, she's still... Because sometimes, again, you know, you get them in a good light, you know. It's a different story.
The first time I saw her, and maybe this is why I feel this way, but the first time I ever saw her was a few years ago. I sort of turned around, and there she was. And you know how you go...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's how beautiful she was.
Yeah.
So every time I see her, I got that feeling. So no matter what she wears, I would have that feeling. But at the Golden Globes, she wore that white dress. It was
a stunner. It really was.
Yeah.
What you should absolutely do is share these thoughts with her every time you see her. You should just shout that out from the back of the room, you know? Every time I see you, you
take my breath away. That's a stalker line.
Yeah, I was just going to say, exactly, this, you know. It's just that I love the little decorations you have in your apartment wall. So, or maybe
but it's
not.
True. I mean, there are some women that do that to you. My wife does that to me.
Of course. And
Selma Hayek does that to me.
Of course, and Charlize Theron.
Yeah, she does that to me.
I remember you. That's the one woman that I've heard that about more than any other.
Yeah.
The one actress.
She's stunning. Strikingly stunning.
I heard that she's actually so beautiful in person that you are really just sort of stunned by it. But it's sort of like a...
Yeah.
You know, and you all, like, your brain kind of locks up for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
I've never seen her look bad in person.
No.
In that movie, Monster, she looked pretty bad. But you know underneath all that makeup... who's under there.
Well, that's the thing, and that's always the thing with the you know, the that's like the Brad Pitt thing where they, I got to be taken seriously. Put some notches in my teeth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like when they grub themselves up like that, you can tell it's because they know that they're just they're flawless in every other way, and so they got to get a little dirt on them for people to take them seriously.
Yeah, you know, if it wasn't for her nose, Penelope Cruz would look good too.
I just don't know. I don't know about Penelope Cruz. Everybody, and I won't say everybody. A lot of guys find her hot, and she just looks like an insect to me.
Well, she has good eyebrows, but it's the nose.
Really?
It's like a ball. If you paint that red, it's wowie kazowie.
Wait, hold on. I have a sound effect for that. I have a sound effect, believe it or not, for Penelope Cruz's nose. So you're saying if you paint her nose, it's round, it's a ball, so if you paint it, it's sort of a...
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, look, I have to say, I'm one of the ugliest people on the planet.
Okay.
And I have no right to say any of this.
Oh, no, you have every right. They've made it, people who have made a fantastic living by being attractive on screen.
Yeah.
Don't feel bad about that.
Okay.
All right.
I really do. I feel badly when I talk about people because freight trains look better than I do.
Yeah. Okay. I'm looking at her right now. I'm bringing up the picture of Penelope Cruz. Well, okay. Here's the thing about Penelope Cruz. I'm looking at her right now because I go back and forth on her about whether or not I find. I mean, you got to judge on a curve though, because clearly she is an actress, and so therefore she's not hideous. Because you really can't make it in Hollywood if you're hideous, male or female. I mean, really, the odds. I mean, if you are an actor or an actress professional, the odds are like 98% that you are attractive on some level.
But there are that 2%.
That is true. There are the Sandra Bernhardts of the world. I don't know if there's a male equivalent to Sandra. Are there any actors? I mean, successful name brand actors that are just unattractive? Kristen Bowie is here with us today. Kristen, male, I mean, sort of known, I'm not talking niche sort of indie actors. I'm saying like a known mainstream actor. There is no male Sandra Bernhardt.
Even the disgusting slobs are cute-looking guys.
That's what I'm saying. Or distinguished.
Or distinguished-looking,
you know,
yeah.
They're like Robert Redford, who's sort of, you know, rugged and sort of grizzled.
Yeah.
You know, but still, you know, still
Jack
an attractive
Nicholson
man.
Jack Nicholson isn't very attractive.
Jack Nicholson is...
Yeah, he's got something there, man.
But he's sort of grandfathered in, too, because he's like a million years old. And he was in his time, I think, sort of a sexy man, and he had kind of a rakish sort of an outlaw persona.
He was a rogue.
Yeah.
But I'm saying now, like, if you think about, like, a 30 or 40-something actor or actress out there, I can't think of a male actor that's just flat-out unappealing.
Some character actors that are like, wow.
Well, character actors, yeah, because those are the guys that always end up as, like, Tony the Thumbs on The Soprano.
Yeah, or the guys that look like they've been in a fire, so they're in that scene, you know.
Wanted man with disfiguring disease.
Yeah.
No, that's true. Do you ever think about that, too? Did you ever think about when they have to cast for
like
something
Edward
like
James
that?
Olmos.
Edward James Olmos, yes.
He's got all kinds of stuff going on in his face.
No, that's... No.
Wood putty for that.
Bam! No, he's got the Noriega going on. You're right. He really does.
Yeah.
Edward James Olmos, that may be it, because, like, there's really... I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we'll call it hypocrisy. We'll call it a double standard. We'll call it sexism, whatever. No woman with that face is getting the job anywhere.
True.
There's nothing. Really, unless the job is for, like, toe model, there's nothing that's happening there. Okay, no, fair enough. Edward James Olmos, he might be the one.
He might be the guy.
He's the guy. Yeah. I'm looking at this picture of Penelope Cruz right here. Here's the thing about Penelope Cruz. She is... I wouldn't say she's beautiful. I would say that she's cute.
There is a quality, yes.
I would say she's cute. She kind of has, and I do not mean this in a creepy way, and goddamn do I preface a lot of statements with that when I'm talking to you. Because it's always like you and... It's always a conversation about you and I and how you can get some waitress... Or some waitress. Did I really just say that? How you can get some...
Well, they all are waitresses at one time.
How you can get some actress to hike up her skirt so you can get, like, a little bit of the gam, you know, on the red carpet. I'm looking at her, and I don't mean this in a creepy way, but Penelope Cruz has kind of a little girl thing going on.
Yeah.
And again, I don't mean that in a leering way. I just mean she has very childlike features.
It's terrible legs. Very skinny line.
Is that true?
Yes.
Well, see, that's my other thing about when I say she looks like an insect. She's a stick. She's very, very...
praying mantis.
She's that, exactly.
Yeah.
You know who else was... well, never mind. But that, you're right. That she does have this sort of like, I am a big bony stick creature kind of a thing going on there. Not an ugly woman, but...
I think that's what her bumper sticker says.
I'm a big, ugly stick creature. Let's see here. Let's get a couple of these. Let me make sure we don't lose your call. All right, so there's... Jim, hang on. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show with Jim Roop. What do you got, brother?
Hey, how about that Steve Buscemi?
Steve Buscemi?
Yes, sir.
I don't know. Well, let's throw... Kristen, Steve Buscemi, yay or nay? I wouldn't say Steve Buscemi is an unattractive man. Kristen? Do you... Oh, you have to wait? See, if you have to think on it, then the answer is... If you have to think on it, I don't know. Steve Buscemi is not... He's got bad teeth. That's the thing I'll say, but...
That's actually the guy who I was thinking of.
Steve Buscemi has kind of a rat face, if you think about it. Little bit.
I was looking up Armageddon because I was like, I can't remember that guy's name, but I know...
I will say this, actually. In some of his more underfed roles, in other words, like on The Sopranos, when he was very, very... he'd lost a little bit of weight, and he's kind of, you know, he's kind of a very slender... had a very slender thing going on. You can really picture, like, big whiskers and a tail on that guy. You can.
He's got something going on with his eyes that's a little odd, and
the bug-eyed.
Whenever I think of him, I only think of, look at me, I was shot in the face. That's all I can think.
He does, his eyes are very heavily lidded. They are very hooded eyes. He kind of looks sinister in a way. You know who is a, thank you, Jeff, I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I got you. You know who is an unattractive, this is the most shallow, horrific segment. We're just sitting here listing people that we want to feel better than.
Well, that's okay, because we've qualified that by saying we, too, are unattractive people.
Oh, man, I look, yeah.
I'm a mess.
No, see, look at me. Really, it's like I'm a Gorgon. I mean, I got nothing.
Yeah.
You know who is a weird-looking guy is Christopher Walken. Yeah. Christopher Walken.
He always has been a goofy looking.
And not an attractive man, never was. Even when he was like 25.
It's a spooky weird, though.
Totally. Yeah. He's a man who was... He exists solely to balance out, like, the Johnny Depps of the world. You know what I mean?
You ever see the movie Reservoir Dogs?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite that he's in.
No. He's a guy who was probably always bizarre looking. All right. Okay, there
Good
we go.
Good answer, though.
John Travolta started looking weird as he got older.
John Travolta looks damn weird now. His face has gotten just like, it's all blocky and square.
That weird haircut.
He looks a lot like, I don't want to, it's not Fred Willard. Who's that guy? Who's the guy that was Remo Williams? Fred Ward.
Oh, Fred Ward.
John Travolta, as he's gotten older, has started to look a lot like Fred Ward.
A bigger version of Fred Ward.
Just a huge Fred Flintstone head. Just perfectly square almost, but meaty. Like a cube, like a cube of beef somehow. A gigantic cube of beef sitting upon shoulders that has been dipped in some sort of salve. That's what he looks like. I am a horrible person. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to everybody.
Hey, look, these people are putting themselves out there. We have every right to opinionate.
That's why we need each other, Jim Roop, so we can support each other and so we can say that we're doing the right thing here. Steve, you are on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, good afternoon.
What's up?
I was going to add, also, John Candy would be kind of one of those other guys who was just very unattractive.
Hard to say, though. Hard to say because, A, he was always portrayed as a goof. Always dressed badly, and of course in Hollywood there's the weight issue, and you know, who knows? I mean, who knows, you know, in an alternate universe, you know, if they had Hollywoodized him up to be a leading man and not the stooge, which is what he was, I don't know, maybe...
Comic actors are usually pretty different.
Well, you gotta remember movie Uncle Buck.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, the greatest of all John Candy films.
You know, he's got that grin, that smile that makes him cute, and you can see why
totally.
Would go
he's
after.
Got a totally symmetrical face, too. And that's how people judge attractiveness.
I have read that.
Fits.
I have read that, actually, that the more symmetrical your features are, the more attractive you are considered to be. Now, you know what?
That's why Charlie Brown is awesome.
I was thinking more of the Great Outdoors.
Great Outdoors. I was thinking of the Armed and Dangerous era, John Candy.
The Great Outdoors and Uncle Buck, he had hot women after him. He was
true.
Married to the one, and then Amy, whatever her name is, was his girlfriend in the other one.
I will say this, actually, that even fame and fortune with Stanley, even if he wasn't famous, even if he had just been some guy, I bet John Candy would have gotten a lot of women because he was a legitimately funny person. He was a funny man. Funny man. You know who else? And Kristen here, who is filling in for Sarah Dillon today, Kristen pointed out that comic actors actually get a lot of leeway. We've just gone so far afield, but I don't even care. You know, Bill Murray is a weird-looking guy.
I was just going to say
bad
that.
Bad face, bad skin, weird cheeks, bad hair.
And it just got worse as he got older.
Blotchy became more hideous with every passing year. And I don't mean any knock on him. He's a brilliant actor, brilliant comedian. Seems like a nice and very reserved person, but not a good-looking man. Not an attractive man.
Hey, Rick, thanks for your time, buddy. You have a good afternoon.
Thank you, Steve. All right,
there.
All right. Well, there you go, Jim. We've succeeded in elevating ourselves just an inch by the relentless tearing down of others.
But bottom line, I still look worse than Edward James.
Well, that's what I'm saying, and I don't... I mean, Edward James, that's the thing, is like, I still look worse than all of those guys, and also I'm not famous, and also I don't have the money.
Yeah, you know
and
what?
You
I'm going to end my life today.
Yeah, no. Oh, wait, no, but we have a winner. I do have to say this guy has, we have the all-time.
In the same gene pool, probably, Don Knotts.
Don Knotts is the
He's
ultimate.
He's got the eyes happening.
Don Knotts may be the single most unattractive man to ever have been on the movie screen. Ever. Ever?
Wait, I got something better.
No.
The guy from Taxi and Back to the Future.
Oh, Christopher Lloyd. Now, but Don Knotts looks like a peanut with fish eyes. I mean,
did you ever see the movie where he became the fish?
Yeah.
Oh, the Amazing Mr. Limpet.
Oh,
the fish was more attractive than him.
It's a terrible thing.
You know, that is true. They did draw that fish very nicely.
Or the worst
but
people.
But they kept his lips.
All right. bring the curtain down on this. Timothy, thank you.
You guys have a good day.
God bless you. There you go. All right, Jim. Well, we should probably
Bela Lugosi was not a good-looking man either.
No, but he was Hungarian, and the women dig that. And he played Dracula, and as he
was Hungarian? Is that what you just said?
Yes, he was.
You're funny.
Yeah, it's what I do.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. A bunch of movies got nominated. I only ever saw one of them, which was this Scorsese film.
I haven't seen any of them.
Well, the Scorsese film is not bad, I mean, because it's a Scorsese film. But it's going to win because they feel like they neglected him. It's not the best thing he's done. It's not even in the top five that he's done. It'll end up winning because they feel bad that they didn't give him anything for Goodfellas. And there you go, and I haven't seen anything else.
Well, you know what? I want Peter O'Toole to win because he turned down that Life Achievement Oscar.
Right, because he wants the real deal. Well,
yeah.
I'd
like to see him win so he can say something about that.
And I'm with that, though. That's you know what it is? That's class. It's a class act. They said, look, you haven't really won it, but how about we just give you something underneath the table and we'll call it good? And he's like, no. It's like, I want to win it straight up or I don't want it at all. That's...
Yeah.
You know, that style is what that is.
I like that.
All right. Well, I got nothing. Blah, 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 Leonardo DiCaprio, blah, 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 Alan Arkin, blah, blah, blah.
I'll tell you who I think's going to win, though.
Yeah.
I think it'll be Forrest Whitaker. And I think Helen Mirren will win the actress.
Let me just tell you about a guy that's got more career. Forrest Whitaker, you talk about a guy with gravity to him. A guy... I don't know if you watched The Shield.
Yeah.
Man, he was on, yeah, so then you know he played Detective Kavanaugh in season 5 of The Shield. I mean, I could turn the television off, leave the house, go next door to my neighbors and hide in the basement, and I could still feel that guy's presence. I mean, unreal charisma. Just so unbelievably talented. They ought to just give that guy an award and then shower him with rubies.
He's kind of weird, though.
He's a freaky guy.
Unless it's written down, he can't speak.
No, he's a freaky guy. But he's, man, an amazing actor.
Yep,
all right.
I agree.
Even in
that silly Travolta film Phenomenon, he was good.
No, he does. Everything he does is grand. All right, well, enjoy the rest of your Southern California day, my friend. And as always, it is a pleasure. It's beyond a pleasure. It's an honor.
Well,
it's a privilege to speak with you.
The honor is all mine.
Thank you, sir. There you go. Jim Roop, CNN radio correspondent in L.A. I should take the rest of these calls here, and then we'll do a thing. Let's see here. Bam. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Ron Howard's little brother.
Oh, Clint Howard. Clint Howard almost doesn't count because he's like a novelty actor. He's like one of those guys that only gets the roles because he's Clint Howard's or because he's Ron Howard's brother. Yeah.
He just looks all smooth with little beady eyes. He's just gross.
Well, and he's got... The thing about Clint Howard is he's got a huge forehead. I mean, his head is a light bulb, basically. And then he's got these sharp teeth that sort of go like, ah, and like
That's
jump out at you. Totally. And then these tiny little eyes. And then he looks like he probably smells a little weird, like maybe I was just gonna say maybe like Cheetos and scotch. And dead cheerleaders.
But not quality scotch.
Not quality scotch. I'm talking about the bottom shelf. So, yeah, no, I'm with you on that. You are absolutely correct, sir.
Thank you.
That's Steve. Did I hang up on somebody by mistake? Oh, sorry. Well, sorry about that. Well, let's just break now. That went badly. I just sort of pawed at the phones with my palm and just sort of hung up on a bunch of people. What can you do? All right. Speaking of guys who get a pass because they're funny, it's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this on AM 970, Solid State Radio with Tim Riley. You stay right there. And if you will. All right, 503-733-2970. Behold the hideous lameness. So, you know, you can always find... This bed freaks me out. It's like always stopping and starting, and it starts again. And every time I think that... No, I thought it was going to stop there.
It's enough to push you over the edge of insanity.
Seriously. Well, anyway... I was just going to say that... Well, no. There. No. Ah! You just have to turn this off. Thank you. I was going to say that, like all radio hosts, I really only ever read the purple section of USA Today.
It's missing all day.
And it was because I haven't.
Oh, I've been looking all over.
Right here in my hot little hands.
You never take it.
No, I... Well, there's usually just multiple copies over there for the various... The thing is, there's hundreds of newspapers that arrive every day because every time they hire somebody new or a new morning show or a new midday show, they all subscribe to things and then they get fired, but the subscriptions remain. And so that's why there's 19 different versions of the Wall Street Journal. Do you honestly believe that there's a bunch of people on this side? Who on this side of the building, and by that I mean the DJ side, would have enough money to warrant a subscription to the Wall Street Journal? I mean,
not cheap.
Seriously, let's be honest about that. Yeah, that sweet DJ 401k that I got. I got to learn how to handle that.
Maybe if he is a kept man.
Yeah, yes.
With a woman of means.
Don't knock being a kept man. Anyway, so I got the life section, and then I got the living section of the Oregoni, which is where they put all the things that are usable, but all the things that are completely... I mean, they're usable for me. They're not usable for you or anybody else. It's news you cannot possibly use. And it's often just flat-out embarrassing. And I'm just going to read a couple of examples here, and then we're going to go to Tim. And then we got this stuff, and then we're going to do the top five, and we have Suburban Perspective, and then we'll be done.
It'll be done.
Then Likas will be here. I just got to say this. This is at the bottom of today's, page D1, the life section of USA Today. And there's the obligatory list of things and then blah, blah, blah. And then down at the bottom, an article all about alterna dads. Also apparently known as hipster dads. You know it's doggerel because it's in quotes. This is by Olivia Barker, USA Today. Who is today's post-metrosexual media darling? She asks, hipster dad, a.k.a. alterna dad. No one uses these terms. These are terms made up by journalists who are trying to see if they... I swear to God that journalists just make up crap like this to see if they can get people to use these words.
They won.
No one... And here I am. Yes, well done, Olivia Barker. You hack. Here I am saying it. Hipster dad, a.k.a. alterna dad. The guy who hasn't worn a suit since his wedding and listens to the same music as his college kid. Or as the college kid who babysits his tots.
No, hip-hop pops.
Exactly. Apparently, this is from... There's a best-selling book of some kind called Alterna Dad. I don't even care enough about this to continue reading it.
I bet you will.
Nah, just the whole...
Best-selling where?
The whole... I don't know. To idiots, the people at the Gap... probably. This is a...
Maybe get a free one with every four tires.
No, this is... You know, as I'm starting to talk about this term, alternadad, I realize that the whole thing...
What is an alternadad?
I don't even care enough to start talking about it now. I realize now that I've wasted everyone's time because the whole concept is so horrifying.
I'm just going to put it there and we've thrown it away.
It's as bad as the bunny lady.
I'm going to say this, though. Now, I read the Alternadad story in the USA Today, and then I went to the living section of the Oregonian, in which, I swear to God, the entire front page is... It's hard to imagine, by the way, that the Internet is outstripping newspapers as a source of valuable information for today's city dwellers. The entire front page of the Oregonian is an article explaining, I swear to you this is true, all of the different kinds of handshakes that the young people do now and how you can do those handshakes, along with big step-by-step guides on how to shake hands like today's youth.
That's a waste of paper.
How many trees died for this? For the love of Christ, how many... One, two, three... Let's see, how many are there? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. There's seven handshakes described...
And I wonder why their readership's going down.
I bet the kids teach the police that when they're served pizza slices.
In excruciating detail, they go on about handshakes. So there you go.
I don't think a newspaper can educate in that manner.
The next time somebody says to you, I can't imagine why newspapers are seen as stodgy and out of touch. It's hard to believe.
Right. You just mentioned that in the alternative thing. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A former Portlander is up for an Oscar.
Is this the guy who makes all those movies I hate?
This guy's name is Todd Field. Do you hate his movies?
Wait, it's possible. Is he the guy that did Finding Forrester?
No, that was a different guy.
Who's that guy from Kink? Who's the guy that used to work at Kink? He did Finding Forrester and Radio.
I don't remember.
God, what is his name?
Maybe not for too long. He wrote the screenplay for a motion picture entitled Little Children, something else none of us have seen. Mm. He lived in the City of Roses as a teen and worked as a projectionist at a second-run movie house. Well, Vancouver's mayor made his 150th birthday a Vancouver speech today. He's Mayor Royce Pollard. He said, it'll cost more to make the city great. He's saying Vancouver has to fight global warming. They don't want to get, blamed for these polar bears drowning. He's going to replace more city vehicles with hybrids and told Vancouverans to plant more trees. He is urging Vancouverans to join him in pursuing the endless possibilities that await America's Vancouver.
Oh, no.
Oh, they're really calling it that?
Yeah.
Oh.
They try so hard.
They try so hard.
Well, it's the level of pathetic now.
It's kind of cute.
Well, it's like a big scrapyard across the bay.
It's like,
oh, look at the little city. They're trying to be big.
It's like when you see a kid with no feet trying to ride a bike. I mean, it's sort of pathetic, but it's kind of sweet all at once. You know what I mean?
Well, Vancouver needs a big sign that says way out.
Yeah.
Because every time I go there, I can see the bridge, but I can't figure out how to get there, and they do it purposely.
Seriously.
They try to trick you with one-way streets, and all of a sudden the bridge gets further away. And every turn you take, you're further away from the bridge. You're like stuck there for the afternoon.
No, that's true.
It is true. I'm like, what am I supposed to do now that I'm here?
You just need like a red, like, out button
it's
that
like,
you press.
What do people do here?
I reject button.
Of going to Portland to buy lottery tickets.
And avoid the sales tax.
Uh-huh.
I remember the first time I had to go to Vancouver. What was it like? It was horrible. No offense to our many fine listeners in the Couve. I'm just saying. The first time I had to go there to spend a day with Joni DeRoshi. And so I'm going to Vancouver. And it was just as you described, because she lives like way out in the middle of, the sticks. And I'm driving, and at that point I didn't have a cell phone. And then you don't really realize how payphones don't exist anymore until you don't have a cell phone and you got to get somewhere. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I don't know where I'm going, and I can't get. And you do the, and no matter how, where I turn, I ended up in the parking lot of a Bed Bath & Beyond.
Right. I mean, I like Vancouver as long as you don't drive into it. I like passing by it on I-5 and seeing the exit sign and to admire it from a distance. I really don't need it any closer up than that.
Admiring it from a distance is confirmation that you're not there.
Right.
I mean, you're safely on a freeway.
On your way back home to God's country.
Yeah, I mean, that's no matter. I would leave the Bed Bath & Beyond parking lot and drive in a straight line for 15 miles, take a right, and there I am in another goddamn Bed Bath & Beyond parking lot. It made no sense at all.
I tried finding Vancouver Mall once.
Why?
No. I
Self-esteem just not quite high enough?
No.
How do the other people live?
I wanted to go explore Vancouver.
Do you need a black and white photo of you and your best friend forever put on an ill-fitting T-shirt?
My BFF.
Yes, exactly. I need some, I need a thing.
So we wish everyone well in America's Vancouver.
America, quit calling it that. Chuck, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, for years they called it Vancouver, USA, because they're trying to,
make
people would
of
actually confuse it with Vancouver, Canada.
We should all do that.
I've lived there all my life, and I can tell you, see, Portland's got a small man's complex, the city, as far as San Francisco and Seattle. And Vancouver has got a small man's problem towards Portland. So it's
it's like a little brother looking
at the middle brother, and they're both jealous of, like, Seattle and San Francisco.
I'm perfectly zen with Portland being what it is. I'm just saying. I am perfectly fine with Portland being Portland and not being, the huge bustling metropolis that Seattle is. I am okay with that. Vancouver is,
You look at like Pioneer Courthouse up in Seattle.
Yeah.
And then you look at the one we got here, and we have a mini one in Vancouver.
It's just sad. So
and it's funny because, like, during the summer, they have a wine and jazz festival. So 2 weeks before the wine and jazz festival, they roll the drunks out of the park so people can come in and drink wine.
Fantastic. Stephen Colbert was talking about, apparently you guys have some sausage festival that goes on in Vancouver.
The Vancouver Sausage Fest. It's on the same par as, like, Mount Angel, I would imagine.
The Mount Angel Sausage, the Vancouver Sausage Fest. Pleased to go on about it.
It's just like a party with a bunch of guys,
No, really?
Favorite American pastime.
All right, and I think we're done. All right, Chuck, thank you, sir.
All right.
God bless you. There you go, that's all right. Wait, hold on.
The Vancouver. I know what's coming.
Sausage Fest. Do you? Do you really?
I do, yeah. This program is so predictable. But,
What are you talking about, Tim? I have no idea. Why? What do you,
There's certain pieces that fit in different places, and it feels good. It's like mind candy for the soul.
Did you really just say that?
Yes, I did.
He put the little round object in his mouth. It was delicious.
It just makes me cringe every time I hear that.
Scotty, am I to understand that you made some definitive... Oh, really? Should I play this?
He put the little round object in his mouth.
When serving friends and family, you'll want to have plenty of Uncle Charlie's sausage on hand.
Fantastic.
Okay. Because certain things just fit together and it feels good. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, a 35-year-old man died after falling off a chairlift at Crystal Mountain in Washington. The Pierce County Sheriff's Office said the medical examiner are investigating. What's there to investigate, really? The man fell off a chair near the top of the mountain and died.
Problem solved. Let's go to lunch.
He may have suffered some type of medical condition, like falling on
his head. Falling on his... I was going to say, like hitting the ground really hard.
Like death.
Yeah, all right.
Well, I think the Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday, although I can't be sure because I don't partake in such activities. Most would agree that good food is essential to a Super Bowl party as a big screen TV. According to entertainment expert Jean Benedict, pizza is the most popular dish served for the big game. She recommends, instead of ordering a pie, make a simple recipe of pizza Alfredo with spicy sausage.
It's an egg, a half a cup of cream.
Why didn't you tell me?
Grated Parmesan, that's the white sauce. You mix that up, you put it on a pre-baked pizza shell that you get from the grocery store, throw your crumbled sausage on there, your shredded Parmesan, your oregano, you bake that at 450 for 10 minutes, and it is delicious.
What kind of food is this?
This is a pizza Alfredo with spicy sausage.
I want my Uncle Charlie's sausage.
She said it had a white sauce.
Yeah.
That's for the connoisseur. Gene Benedict says that making great food for your Super Bowl party doesn't have to take a lot of time.
No, sorry.
There are certainly portions of it that you can make ahead. You'd make the blue cheese dip the day of, but you could assemble a lot of the ingredients on the pizza the morning of, put some plastic wrap on it, and then just throw it in the oven for when people come.
This is a woman whose life is meaningless. She is giving,
except for this time of the year.
She's giving food tips no one will follow, giving advice that no one will listen to.
Maybe somebody's writing this down right now.
Recipes that no sporting man will use. So just be aware of that, Gene, whatever your name is. Your life has been a waste.
Well, if the mayor of Vancouver's listening, he might want to write this down, because this could make America's Vancouver just
a better
place.
This could be their dish. Do they have an official dish? An official food in Vancouver?
I'm really not sure. I've never eaten there.
Does it come with a cheese packet?
It might. She recommends seating your home for your Super Bowl party in stadium style.
You can take your cue from the stadium and do tiered seating. You, of course, everybody's got the couch, but I find that at my Super Bowl parties, everybody's sitting on the floor, too. Get stadium cushions to make their seating more comfy.
But at her Super Bowl, who cares about your Super Bowl parties?
She's an expert.
I despise this woman. I don't care about anything she has to say ever again.
Well, let's talk about flight attendants. Who often deal with obnoxious passengers, including children who won't listen to instructions by kicking them off the plane. But a Massachusetts couple thinks AirTran Airways went overboard by treating their crying 3-year-old daughter in much the same way.
Fantastic.
Julie and Jerry and their daughter Ellie were removed from the flight when the girl refused to take her seat before takeoff, but her parents said they just needed a little more time to calm her down. The family was flying home from Boston for Fort Myer after a 4-day visit with the grandparents. She was removed because she was climbing under the seat and hitting the parents. It wouldn't take her seat, said the flight instructor.
How old is she?
She's 3.
All right. And she's climbing under the seats and hitting people. Mm-hmm. It's hard to imagine that they'd kick her off the plane.
The flight was already delayed 15 minutes. And in fairness to the other 112 passengers on the plane, the crew made an operational decision to remove the family.
Damn straight.
How about a round of applause?
Yes.
The Orlando-based carrier will reimburse the family $595.80, the cost of 3 tickets, and offer them 3 round-trip tickets anywhere the airline flies.
Oh, great. I hope I end up flying with them.
Well, it's too late, says the family. They will never fly AirTran again.
Oh, you'll be missed. All right. Thanks. Take a wagon train.
Friendly skies.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, a man in prison for a probation violation was killed when he was struck by a truck driven by a correctional official at the minimum security jail where he was staying. The truck had just completed a delivery to the kitchen. The incident is being investigated by state police. It's considered an accident, though.
Let's see. Ted, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir. Ted.
Hello?
Ted.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Hey, yeah, so you were talking about someone earlier this week, Rick, and like most guys, I catalog men who are uglier than me, sort of the opposite of what women do.
Kind of like knowing your place in line.
It's true. Women are much more interested in who's prettier than them, but
yeah.
So how about a winner of the best actor Oscar, who was hideously ugly, and you just talked about him today, a few days ago.
I don't know.
Ernest Borgnine,
an ugly man. You know, they won
an Oscar winner.
No, it's true. I mean, I don't knock him. Very successful actor. Maybe he was attractive as a young person, but I don't believe that's the case.
Also, Carl Malden, of course.
Carl Malden, true. Bad nose. You know, they wanted Ernest Borgnine to be Don Corleone. The studio wanted him to be the Godfather. So, I mean, yeah, just try to picture that. That didn't work in your head at all. You're right, Ernest Borgnine. And, you know, here's the thing. Is it's like, and when those guys who are sort of uglier than you die...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's sort of like the reverse of how, like, when you're happy when somebody better looking than you dies, because it's almost like you step up one. You know what I mean? Like, you're one step closer to the front then. Johnny Depp gets trampled to death by horses. It's a tragedy. God love. But you know what? I'm one closer to being at the head of the class.
River Phoenix, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I just, yeah. Probably best not to dwell on that. Let's see. Pat in the coupe. Hello, sir.
Hi. One reason why they've added the Vancouver USA is precisely because, like, for instance, the story that Tim was doing about a half an hour ago, and I forget what the subject was, but went into it and he was, the delightful story about the hog farmer. Anyway, he went into it and he called it Vancouver, and he did not say, because I was listening, he did not say Vancouver, British Columbia. He just
talked about
Vancouver.
Canada.
And we have that happen way too often. We need our own identity, like everybody likes their own name.
Which Vancouver came first?
I believe we did, I think.
Kristen?
I'm pretty sure that Washington became a state after Canada was kind of...
So should it be... The Vancouver here, should their slogan be Vancouver, not the one you're thinking of?
Yes, sir. The other Vancouver. Vancouver 2.
The less attractive Vancouver.
I don't know, but and then I would also point out, Mr. Emerson, that of your home growing, when I used to go back through the Tri-Cities on my way to Pullman to school, What a beautiful little mecca there.
Well, he's never claimed his birthplace was attractive.
Seriously, I don't know how long you've been listening to the radio program. My birthplace is the worst city on earth.
And I grew up in Gresham, so I have to have something to make fun of, and Vancouver's it.
Yeah, seriously.
Yours is it. Richland, isn't it, Rick?
It's not. No, Richland would be a step up. I'm from Kennewick. The only thing, I could have been from Pasco. That's worse. But, I mean, that's really, that's the only way
I could
be worse.
Hospital at 5.
Or if I was just born and set on fire.
Right? Like wanting to stop sometimes, like Clint Eastwood did in that movie, and repaint just hell on the,
totally.
On the name of the city.
Yes.
Okay, one last thing. That fellow that called about an hour ago and said that he's been hearing the messages that you were putting out to him.
Yes,
that guy really, really irked me because I know that it's me that you're talking to over the radio. So, you know, I mean, just tell that guy to knock it off.
What?
Okay?
What? What? No, I'm sorry. All right, it's 503-733-2970. All right, well, we should... Good to be proud of you. It's good to be proud of where you're from.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so forth. All right. Hey, let's take a break here. We'll come back. More of Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, the Top 5, Dennis Pitchenbarger, the Suburban Perspective, and more. Like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It is AM 970, Solid State Radio.